Marvellous. So, I think if I just put this button here like that, and then I press this button like so...
10.30 a.m. in L.A. can only mean it's time for the Midweek Drive team to welcome their top Californian cultural correspondent, Phil Leonis, back for another segment of Cultural Perspicacity.
Quite right, too. So how perspicacity... Oh, Lord, I knew it would happen. How perspicacious are you going to be today, Phil Leonis? And where do we find you today?
Oh, wait a minute. Perspicacity is derived from perspicacious. I thought perspicacity was the youngest son of Jack Cassidy and Shirley Jones.
I see what you did there. And obviously, David, he'll be smiling from Heaven FM, where he's actually obviously occupying a whole variety of other bits and pieces as well. Have you managed to catch any of the programme today, or have you been too busily involved with the Los Angeles Breakfast Club?
I've been busily involved with many things. Not the Breakfast Club per se, but the short answer, I guess, is a soft no. I haven't caught any of the program.
That's perfectly okay. You will have missed, then, the delights of Dr. Renee Ward, ace Canadian. Whereabouts in Canada do you originate from, Renee?
I actually originate from Peterborough, about an hour down the road.
That's how they all speak.
But my mum's Canadian, so we emigrated there, and I was living in southwestern Ontario, and I have also lived out west in Alberta.
I see, because just as we're expecting Dean Hagden to return from Australia to Los Angeles in the near future, where he's been doing all manner of marvellous things, I just wanted to get those connections going.
Difficult.
It's okay. Professor Jason Whittaker already, Phil Leonis, I know, is working on a new jingle for yourself and the Siren Radio Midweek Drive, so that's all good. We'll just move the microphone slightly towards yourself there, so you can connect with that. We've also been sharing the joys of Phil Hamlin-Williams, who is... well, Phil, define yourself. I mean, I gave you several titles in the first part of the production, and you know, where would you position yourself today? Drill hall?
I'm lucky enough to be someone who can do what they enjoy. Aren't I? You know, that is just amazingly lucky. It is principally arts and culture. Hmm. I am lucky enough to be a writer, but also chairing the Lincoln Book Festival and the Lincoln Arts Trust, whose job it is to promote arts and culture in Lincoln, so I discover. But who does that through running, presenting arts and culture in a building that was a drill hall. That is an amazing space. People absolutely love performing there because it's so flexible.
It was something I didn't manage to show Phil Leonis when he was last in Lincoln a few years ago. But next time, which could be as close as back end of this year, we don't know with
Fantastic.
Phil Leonis. It's all very exciting, and you know, he's already just proposed marriage to Lily Holliman. That's gone there. The Lady Killers. It's all go in the Leonis household. That and of course Fuzz Aldrin, who I will be speaking about again on tomorrow's show, because in this side of the Atlantic, Phil, it's the National Feline Awards.
That's very exciting. I am still just delighting in the answer to the question of what someone does, giving the answer, I do what I enjoy. I think that is such a wonderful answer to the question, because honestly, it always bothers me when someone I've just met, within moments of meeting me, asks, what do you do? And I want to say, well, I know what you do. You ask probing questions that indicate you judge someone primarily by their occupation. My answer is more along the lines of I do the best I can with what I have, where I am. But I am going to start using I do what I enjoy.
And you see, that's another sort of wonderful way in which the Phil Hamlin-Williams answer can be echoed throughout the universe and so on. Charlotte March has been making her debut on the production this evening. Phil, you might like to quiz her on how she's found the whole experience, because about 24 hours ago she hadn't anticipated this at all. It was simply a discussion about an essay, and I said, come along to the programme, and lo and behold, there we are. It's her first show. And she is from Nottingham or Newark?
Yes, land of men in tights and men in women's tights, D.H. Lawrence, Robin Hood. You know, be ruthless, what do you have to say? Sorry.
Phil, what does Charlotte March have to say?
Well, I mean, if you want me to ask her how she's found the program, I would imagine finding the program involved taking a ride in one of those talking elevators right outside. But how have you enjoyed your appearance here on the show today?
It's been a bit of an odyssey. I was late to our lesson this morning, and we grabbed not a coffee and talked a lot about Quatermass. So
I feel it's a way forward.
In between,
right?
Yeah.
you got your Quatermass, you got your Arthur C. Clarke, and it's just a whole line of things from that point of view. And Tessa's with us as well, of course. So Tessa Snow has been doing.
Hi, Phil.
Hello. I just watched for the first time Quatermass in the Pit. Did I mention that?
What did you think of it?
I was really impressed with actually the performances and how kind of modern it is in terms of its dramatic kind of realism. The effects obviously show the vintage nature of the movie, but I was really impressed with how modern the performers were.
Kind of atmosphere of the film, it does remind me a lot of the Alien and the Black Mirror, the nihilism that comes with it. Barbara Shelley as well, you know, Hammer Goddess, stunning performance.
And the tone of the film is established so nicely early on, and I just kind of find it sort of refreshing in terms of its scientific approach. I really enjoyed it. So, I mean, I guess I started in an odd place in terms of my introduction to Quatermass with that film, but I must say it was a delightful introduction.
Early in the production, Phil, I was shocked to find that none of our quintet of quality in the studio had actually encountered Irwin Allen's Lost in Space, even though clearly there's going to be a remake on Netflix in the very near future. Let's just test that with Quatermass. Renee Ward, Quatermass, no, shaking of the head there as well. Jason Whittaker.
And Quatermass in the Pit, the whole shebang.
Quatermass 2, exactly.
Oh dear.
Shebang.
It's the end
of the day. Wonderful. Shebang, shebang. That's another line entirely. Really, it's who had that, the hit with shebangs? We'll find that out. We'll look it up on a computer. I'm sure it was a very memorable phrase, probably in the days of vinyl. No, I have to be quite brutal on that one, Renee. Definitely not Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. That's great if you're going to Hushabye Mountain, which is wonderful, and you can take a step through that point of view. It's great if you want to go up from the ashes, grow the roses of success, a theme I like to use in our public relations team meetings in many ways, really. But, you know, of course...
See what you've done.
Phil Hamlin-Williams, Quatermass.
Absolutely. And it makes me deeply regret that the sort of drama we're getting these days is so between a couple of rails. It's all please, please, please.
Oh, yeah.
All quite soft, quite nice domestic comedy. Why can't we have something like Quatermass? Now, who remembers The Red Grass? This was when I was a wee boy. It was so scary. And we don't get anything like that.
Well, I think this
is the sheer joy of streaming services now that actually do provide a hot... Terrestrial TV, I agree. It's very, very narrow and it's not content.
Well, what about what about this wonderfully delightful quality of having the people of science be the heroes? That is not something I feel gets depicted very regularly. If they are leading characters, they are most often to be distrusted these days.
I totally agree. I mean, we see it as Quatermass. He's basically the progenitor of Doctor, I should say, with the eccentric hero and the tottering sort of military man who's, you know, lovely. You know, you see it in the Brigadier and the Assistant. It is the heart, the soul, the mind. It's the trio that we need in science fiction in order to make a balanced human story.
Ursula K. Le Guin would have been proud of that, that's how I feel.
And the other thing, if you do happen to have a scientist in a relatively lead role, it's not about science. It's about something totally different. Mm. It's about, sort of a love interest. Or it is never, in other words, the science is not the plot.
I would say that there's a fetishization of the geek, you know, geek chic. It's more about the appearance of somebody who's socially isolated rather than somebody who brings something to the table of their narrative.
Yeah.
as a genuine truth seeker, as someone who's motivated by inquiry to explore, which seems to be a natural for a lead character in so many kind of dramatic storylines, and yet again, it's sidekick, it's romantic interest, it's villain, but it's never the driving heroic force.
Okay, Renee, you quite rightly, sotto voce, has to be said, slightly off microphone there, so I'll just move it through, uttered those immortal words, keeping the Gillian Anderson thing going.
What about Scully?
What about Scully? What about Scully, Phil Leonis?
I would point out that the ongoing episodes of The X-Files are called My Struggle, chapters 1, 2, 3, etc., and that My refers to Mulder, not Scully. So I would feel even in The X-Files, and maybe as Gillian herself has expressed so many times, it's to be expected since only 2 episodes out of 210 were directed by women, and only, 1 was written by a woman, that Scully herself, as iconic a character as it is, she is subordinate to Mulder. And also, it isn't about her science, it's about her transcending her faith in science, because Mulder is so often shown as being the one that's right, that the supernatural is true, the supernatural explanation. So it's fascinating how they treat her. They do treat her with respect, but I would say they don't necessarily treat science with respect, and they probably also do have a female problem now all these years later on that show. I think it's safe to say, even though at one point it was probably very forward-thinking where feminism was concerned, I do think it's now behind the curve. That's a little more than what was asked. There you go. And also, Chris Carter himself has said that he has figured out, now that Gillian is leaving, he has figured out how to keep the show going without her.
Is he going to hire Pamela Anderson then? Which is what they thought about in the first place.
Can I just say maybe?
There you go. Shock, horror. Who
Richard
knows?
Dean Anderson. It's Richard Dean Anderson they're hiring. Oh, I don't know. Is anyone named Anderson?
A Stargate scenario. Well, they're certainly not Richard Anderson, because he's also passed into the great beyond, as indeed Oscar Goldman would frequently have said in The Sixth Million Dollar Man. Phil, whom else do you wish to go to in terms of the team that we've actually talked through this afternoon? We've looked at the role of the songwriter. We've looked at science fiction cons. Louis Savvy couldn't actually make it, but we did talk about sci-fi Scarborough. We talked about the Manchester Starburst Film Festival. I know I didn't dare mention anything about the way that you didn't manage to... It just wasn't worth going into, Phil, but I just thought, well, just let it go. Just let it go in this particular moment. But it's going to be a fun time. Who would you wish to speak to? Professor Jason Whittaker? Renee Ward?
Listen, we make it a roundtable. I always love to hear what everybody's highlight on the show was thus far. Because as you know, I'm an avid listener of the podcast, and I like to know what I wish to seek out in the podcast. So what has everybody's highlight been on today's show?
Nice point. Renee, would you like to take that first and foremost, highlight of the program?
Alex invited me to come in and talk about Medieval Week, celebration of all things medieval, or the Middle Ages, that's running at the end of March, so from the 19th to the 23rd of March. And we have several public events, including a large lecture on the Tuesday night on the Hereford World Map called Christian Maps and Jewish Monsters with a Professor Asa Mittman from California State University. And we have a research talk on the Wednesday with Marianne O'Doherty from Southampton. She's talking about Mandeville and different versions of or translations of Mandeville's text and authorial intent. And then we have some other things. We have a medieval tile workshop with a local potter. And we have a virtual reality blacksmith shop. And we also were doing a poetry reading, medieval poetry reading on Thursday night.
And that, Phil Leonis, is how seamlessly the question, moment of the match, highlight of the show, can be translated by Renee into, this is what you're going to miss out on if you don't actually touch base on the medieval week. Genius.
I know. Yes. That was amazing. I kept thinking, wait a minute. Well, now she's no longer talking about the medieval week. She's talking about another event. Now she's talking about yet another event. That's all part of Medieval Week? And where was... How was I not told about that? But I have never wanted to attend a Medieval Week before this, and now I don't want to attend anything else other than a Medieval Week.
That's the power of influence, you see. The power of persuasion. Professor Jason Whittaker, your particular highlight?
Well, I'm going to take a cue from Renee's book.
Nice.
And actually, I'm going to plug something that hasn't been discussed in the show, but I'm going to this weekend.
Let's give you full microphone.
So this weekend I'll be going down to Petworth House in Sussex, which during the time of the third Earl of Egremont, William Blake lived a couple of miles away, and the third Earl of Egremont commissioned a painting, The Visions of the Last Judgment, which is now the basis of an exhibition that's taking place there. So that is definitely going to be the highlight of my week.
This is all great stuff. He's avoided mentioning the show. I can understand why. It's okay. You know, we might have head chefs liking it, but who knows when it comes to the whole thing. Phil Hamlin-Williams.
Well, since we are allowed off script, the highlight of my week, I have been doing something I have never done before. I've been going into schools this week to talk about writing and our book festival. And I've come away with some fabulous questions floating around my head. As I said earlier, the Lincoln Arts Trust has a job of promoting arts and culture, providing arts and culture. And we've been doing it in a building, which is a fabulous place. My question is, how else can we do it? We are beginning to think, yes, let us, we do a disco for people with disabilities. We're going to push that out into other venues around the county. But can we do some more open-air stuff? Lincoln is a fantastic place. It's got some beautiful architecture. Can we use that as the backdrop for some exciting performance? So those are the thoughts floating around in my head.
I mean, Phil Linus, you visited Lincoln once. I sort of drove you up the hill. I drove you down the hill. You know, you've got a general flavour as to the whole essence of the whole system. Almost getting the keys to the city would probably be sort of close to the next routine. Any thoughts in terms of how you can assist your namesake in enhancing the artistic exploration of our folk around the Lincoln area?
Well, this is, first of all, let me correct. You didn't drive me up the hill and down the hill. You drove me up the hill, constantly making nothing but left turns. So it took a long time to get up there, and then we went down the hill. But I need to think on this. That is a big question and a good one, and I would really love to be able to weigh in on this maybe a week's time from now. But you're swimming in some deep cultural waters with this panel today, Alex. And I love that the part of the podcast that I can most look forward to is apparently the part where I show up and I ask the question what everyone's highlight was, because it's led to all new stuff.
Exactly. That's why you're always on the team, Phil, you know, when we're scoring the whole sort of system up from that perspective. Charlotte, your highlight of the program.
Well, it was lovely learning about Starburst, literary editor, and the magazine and everything. Saw an item about Blood on Satan's Claw. I'll give that a check. Do you know where I can purchase it? Is it online, subscription?
Yes, to both, actually.
Okay.
And indeed, even news agents actually carry the magazine.
Good grief.
It's just phenomenal. But, you know, you can go into traditional news agents and actually get the physical copy of the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd have thought it? And Tessa?
The whole show has been the highlight for me. It's been really, really interesting. So I think you're going to enjoy listening to the podcast all the way through. But, of course, talking to you is one of my highlights every week on the Midweek Drive.
It's the word of our official correspondent from Glinton, of course, just outside Peterborough. Phil, would you like to give me a number between 2 and 26? Yes, we've decided to return once more to this little magical piece as Mike was back on the show last week. So what number would you wish to go for?
Are these new recordings?
No.
Are they new?
No. It's then, a random chance.
So the question was, do I want to? Mm. Are you instructing me to?
Oh, yes. All right, Charlotte, would you like to pick a number between 2 and 22, please?
Don't fall for it.
Now, please, you can't have noises off on Charlotte's debut production.
I like that you gave me between 2 and 26, but now you've limited her choice to 2 to 22.
Yeah, well, times like that.
What game are you playing?
Exactly.
Where are you playing at?
I don't
the
play
next
any.
One is gonna be, the next person you're going to ask is Tessa. Would you like to choose the number 2?
The thing that most forget while dreamily looking off into the horizon for the ship of their dreams is that such ships never sail in, but are actually built beneath their very feet. Oh, we owe the universe.
Thank you. You see, got there in the end. A little momentary sort of pause for thought item to actually take us through the whole system. Thanks certainly to William Cole, Steve Dickinson, Ed Fortune, Paul Zollo, and Phil Leonis for joining us telephonically in the studio. Charlotte March, Renee Ward, Professor Jason Whittaker, Tessa Snart, Phil Hamlin-Williams, and you, dear listener. Any final things we need to mention about the drill hall, or should we just? We'll let Phil come back to us on that one. Phil, you'll be obviously be returning in the not too distant future. So,
and I look forward to that. But I will mention two. Mm. On the 19th of April, we have a wonderful singer by the name of Callahan, a Lincolnshire woman who is now from Nashville.
Brilliant.
That is very much. But the one that
Tessa, is this not a Sound and Country Vision person that's just, I mean, you've got to, exactly. I think
is this too exciting? Is this too exciting? Well, the other one that is crazily exciting is Benjamin Zephaniah.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
yes. Who is coming to talk about his poetry on the 31st of May. Wow.
That's just truly awesome. Jason, as I say, have you enjoyed the production?
I've enjoyed it immensely, Alex, as ever.
That's very good. And Renee, you're back a week on Thursday, I believe, for our morning edition.
Yes, you're dragging me in for
some
morning.
Don't drag people in, yeah?
I mean, kicking and screaming.
Phil Leonis gives us the weather report for Lincoln from Los Angeles at midnight in LA time. You know, just to gear that up. By the way, are you on for that tomorrow morning, Phil?
Are you kidding me? I got every one of my Oscar predictions right. If I don't get to lord that over Richard Fitzwilliams, I have nothing to live for.
I thought you'd raise that, and it has to be pointed out that you're absolutely right in terms of what has become the annual Fitzwilliams Leonis Challenge. Richard, of course, one of our ace correspondents and Al Jazeera and CNN writers as well. Oscar predictions, they were equal in so many things, but Phil Leonis won 3-0. He got Best Picture, he got Best Song.
Alex, you know, rarely do I sound very American
triumphant
in terms of my overweening sense of confidence, but when it comes to the Oscar competition with Richard Fitzwilliams, I constantly am wearing my giant foam rubber We're Number One hand because, you know, I just can't lose to the man.
This is very true. So there we are. We'll hear more about that and Richard's views on obviously having to cope with the 3-0. Unbelievable. Still, never mind. Phil, I think Tessa can continue the run she's been on because she hasn't asked you those last two questions. So off you go, please, Tessa.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with today?
I didn't get to talk to you enough, Tessa. So I'm gonna make it a reserved yes.
Okay. And will you be joining us again on the show soon? I think tomorrow.
I have nowhere else to go. I'm just staying on hold until the morning edition.
Okay. That's great.
That's it. The message is out there. More great stuff coming up as far as Siren Radio is actually concerned. We are heading off into the wild yonder. Final plug, Renee, for Medieval Week, at least today. People want to get hold of tickets and things that we've actually mentioned. Best place to go?
University website, and we'll be sending it out on social media, so everywhere.
Everywhere. Telepathy, the whole thing will actually be around from that. And, of course, you'll be returning, I believe, a week on Thursday, so a week tomorrow, where we'll also be joined by Rosie Crust, an extraordinarily entitled lady, who is also the education officer for the Linkage Agricultural Society, and we'll be looking ahead to countryside links as well. So a little tease ahead to things that we're taking place in. And that's it. We're away out of here in the... What should we say, Phil? Should we say be seeing you? Should we say hail and farewell? I mean, you're the director. Tell us. Guide us. What should we absolutely wrap up with? I mean, in fact,
say we all.
Nice one.
How about we all sing "We'll Meet Again"?
No, I think we'll go along with Renee's suggestion there, echoing the time when she has the. Do you still have the Starbuck outfit?
Yes.
Oh,
sorry. Do I still wear it?
I yes. don't.
Don't make me call you a nugget.
No. But yes, we'll wrap up with those four words. So say we all. A one, a two, a three.
So say we all.
Say we all.